Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. We turn now to China, where, as you may know, there is a new law requiring that all adult children go home to visit their elderly parents frequently. That word frequently, by the way, is in quotes, and we'll get to exactly what it might mean in a moment. But first, we want to hear from you, not just if you are Chinese with elderly parents in China, but if you have elderly parents anywhere far away from where you live. How do you feel? How would you feel about a legal dictate to go visit them? Call us at 212-433-WMYC, 212-433-9692. Or, of course, if you are a parent of adult children, should they be required to come visit you by law? 212-433-WMYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can post a comment at WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. Here to discuss the law in China and the larger policy considerations for all of us is Bonnie Choi. She's the author of American Chinatown, A People's History of Five Neighborhoods. She is also a contributing writer to the Atlantic City section, where her current provocative piece appears, and that piece, quite frankly, inspired us to do this segment. The piece is called The Wake-Up Call in China's Visit Your Parents Law. Bonnie, welcome.
Thanks, Jamie. Glad to be here.
So let's start by asking you about China's law itself by way of background for our conversation, because I imagine people may be somewhat familiar with the law, but not specifically. So in China, of course, you know, they've had this rapid urbanization, and there was the famous, or some might even say infamous, one-child policy. Was the law passed to address the effects on the aging population of those other policies and prescriptions? And what exactly does the law require?
Well, so this law was went into effect July 1st, and it really was a reflection of all the things that you mentioned, the decades of this one-child policy and the rapid urbanization of the Chinese economy, you know, from a pretty rural, agriculturally based one to one in which, it's a vast migrant working society now, and people have gone to the cities, to these mega cities, you know, Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, to find jobs. And, you know, this is the engine that is driving China right now, and it has been a pretty extraordinary change, particularly over the last 10 to 15 years. And, of course, the byproduct of this is that people don't live with their parents anymore. And, you know, the traditions dictate that the elderly would have always moved in with their children. You know, that was always an assumption, and that's just what happened. And were cared for, and that was the safety net that was always in place. And now, of course, with these vast changes in Chinese society, you have only one child who's going to be responsible for all that, and that child is probably not living with you. And this, as you mentioned, I mean, this is something that is incredibly applicable to us in the U.S. People often are living far from the cities in which their parents reside and far from their original hometowns, and it's this sort of far-flung network of family and negotiating visits every year during the holidays. It's something that is very commonplace, and everyone knows it, and mm-hmm. everyone deals with it. And so this law kind of was put in place for two reasons. This emotional support, this emotional spiritual support that that's what family provides, but also to address the financial and physical support that is necessary as we age.
Yes. And if you don't mind, Bonnie, can you tell us about your own experience, your personal story?
Oh, absolutely. I was born and raised in New York, but my father has lived back in China for the last 20 years. And so He lives in Guangzhou in southern China, and he is... He would hate to for me to talk about his age. I think that the story has kind of made him even more age conscious than he is. But he's 67, and you know, he's in excellent health and doing very well and is working and all that. But he, you know, we don't see him very often. And I really wanted when I heard about this law, it forced me to look at my own relationship with my father and the fact that we see each other maybe at most once a year. And, you know, now I have two small boys and I want to foster that relationship with, you know, their grandfather. And so it's, again, these are familiar, you know, in this news and talking about the Chinese law, I mean, this is a very familiar thing that people deal with every day.
Yes, everywhere. And
everywhere.
And that's why we want our listeners with parents that they either are caring for now or can envision someday wanting to have a relationship with, but they live, say, in California and the parent is in New York. Or, I mean, they live here in New York, I'm sorry, and the parent is in California or maybe in the middle of the country or maybe in another part of the world. To call in, 212-433-WMYC, 212-433-9692. As the world gets smaller, we live in different places and not always near the parents who raised us or the children we raised, and perhaps you have children that live elsewhere. Do you expect them to visit regularly, or do you think their independence is part of being an adult child? Give us a call and tell us what you think their obligations ought to be and whether you think there should be a requirement for children to visit their parents or parents to visit their children. I guess you could reverse it, right, Bonnie?
Exactly.
And let me ask you, Bonnie, again, our number 212-433-WMYC. My guest is Bonnie Choi. And Bonnie, let me ask you about the law in China. You know, the United States being a very different kind of culture, we're unlikely to have a law like this, but we do face the same dilemmas here as we have increasingly only children by choice, not by law. But we also have an aging demographic, a sandwich generation, children and aging parents. How do they define frequently? You mentioned that the law requires frequent visits to your elder parents. Well, what is frequent? Once a year, twice a year, once a month? What does that mean in China?
That's a great question.
What does that mean in the U.S.? What is frequently?
It's a great question, and you should know that the law doesn't really specify what frequently means.
It does not.
It does not, and I think that the reason behind that is because, okay, so this law has been ridiculed from here to China, and the idea of legislating love is a tough one for people to wrap their heads around. But I think what the intent of the law seems to me, you know, somewhat of a noble one, is to kickstart this conversation about what social safety nets exist for the growing population of seniors everywhere, and what changes need to be met or put in place to provide for the many that continue to join their numbers. And the frequently has been interpreted already in terms of lawsuits to mean every 2 months, but it's not specified. And so I think that it's taken on a case-by-case basis should people choose to sue their children to visit them. Now, I think that the more practical discussion to have is, you know, in your personal relationships, you know, how can it be made easier to visit your parents more frequently, whatever frequently means in your own family, and in terms of government support of that. You know, they've sort of talked about your employers giving you the time off to go visit your parents. We all know that that is a challenge always, and mm-hmm. particularly in China when people are traveling, you know, hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles to visit their families, and only making it once every year, every 2 years, every 5 years even in some cases for some migrant workers.
Let's take a call, Bonnie. We have the phones lighting up, as you can imagine. Benjamin in Brooklyn is calling in. Benjamin, do you want to weigh in on this? Are you a parent or a child? Or both?
Hi, hello.
Hi.
I'm a child, not a parent yet.
And what is your situation? What's your opinion about all of this that we've been talking about with Bonnie?
Well, I mean, I think as a lot of listeners, it makes me imagine my parents are still in their early 60s and still working, and I see them as often as I can. But I'm thinking ahead to further down the line when they are going to need possibly more care, more attention. And I just wanted to bring up the idea, as I'm sure is the case for a lot of, you know, children of my generation. My parents are divorced and they don't live anywhere near each other. So it just kind of further complicates the issue of being able to care for them or see them when, you know, if I have a vacation, I have a choice of either going to see my father on the West Coast or going to see my mother on the East Coast. And I just wanted to bring up that issue that the families sometimes don't stay together and that might even further complicate the issue of being able to stay in touch.
Benjamin, thank you. That's very insightful, and I appreciate your honesty on that. I appreciate the call as well. Let's take one from Danny in Cobble Hill. Danny, thank you very much for your call. What's your experience with this issue?
Thank you. Well, I'm 34. My father is actually remarried in the last couple of years. He's 62. He actually lives in Germany now for the last year and a half or so.
Wow.
And I was just going to point out, I mean, as the last caller said, I think it's really important how elderly, you know, I don't consider my father necessarily elderly yet, but he feels a responsibility, I think, as well to come here and visit, knowing the difficulty to travel internationally like that. And then I have my mother in Michigan. So it is difficult. And I wanted to also just point out, like, kind of the generational difference in the trajectory that we're on. I feel like even from the last generation, you know, I think as life and work gets so spread out and people get busier and busier, I think this is a phenomenon that is somewhat sad and a big challenge as well. You know, I think it's actually a good thing that China is addressing it in some sense. I don't know about a law. But, you know, in this country, I think we're going to find it more and more. And I also thought, you know, when my father actually remarried, although he took him to Germany, he was really thankful because I think you don't want your parents to be alone. Know so that they have someone. So I kind of encourage people to try to find someone for their parents if they're apart.
That's a very, very generous sentiment. I don't know how many parents would call in to agree with it, but thank you, Danny. I'm glad you found someone. And it's interesting we're getting people calling in with parents in far-flung parts of the country and world. Bonnie, let me take one more. This one's from Beatrice. Beatrice is here in Manhattan. Beatrice, you're on WMYC with Bonnie Choi of The Atlantic.
Thank you for having me. I'm Beatrice, and my parents are back in Colombia, South America. I've been living in this, I'm 28, I've been living in the States for 10 years, and as they age, I do get concerned about their care. I disagree with this law because I feel like as a child, is a moral duty to take care of your parents, but I don't think the government needs to interfere on that. I do visit my parents every year. I make it a priority and to put it in my schedule and to go down there and spend some time with them over Christmas time. And I constantly call them twice a week to make sure they're all right and they're fine. But I totally disagree with this law.
Beatrice, do you think that the law has any or the government has any right to try to legislate morality or what is right and wrong in a family?
No, I think the government does not have that right. What it should do is by education incentivate to kind of create this or incentivate this feeling into the people.
As children and in the society as they get older.
Exactly.
Thank you, Beatrice, so much for your call. And as always, I'm so thrilled to hear from such a diverse group of listeners. Let me come back to you, Bonnie. And it's really fascinating how your article has touched on so many people with so many family members in different parts of the country and world, but the issues are the same.
Right. I think that that's the really extraordinary thing about this this story is that it is a universal one, and we're talking about China and the law there, but we're talking about every single person, you know, here, because everyone has parents and their situations are differing and at different stages of their lives, but the question will always come up is as we get older, who's caring for us? And I think that I wanted to touch on what the first two callers had mentioned.
Please.
About their divorced families. And, of course, that is something that is very, very common. And my own parents are also divorced. And so my father's in China, but my mother's in New York. And my husband's parents are also divorced.
And
so,
are you not in San Francisco? Am I correct
about
that?
Yes, I am. I'm in the Bay Area. And we are so far flung. I mean, for the last, I don't know how many years, we've talked about dividing up vacations and visits and holidays, and we've got so many different responsibilities, and it just is it's something that more and more people deal with, and it is it's tough to juggle all these things, juggle also your nuclear family and also your jobs and
yes.
your demands, you know, on a daily basis. And so these are wonderful conversations to have. And I think that what I wanted to do with this essay was really to kickstart that and talk about what we can do and call attention to those things. And one of the things, actually, I don't know if I'm sure people out there have heard about this website. It's called See Your Folks. And it's created by four British graphic designers. Recently, a friend of mine told me about it. And it uses data from the World Health Organization, and plus your own input on how old your parents are and how often you typically see them each year. And it estimates the number of times you'll see your parents before they die. Now, this is terribly grim, admittedly, but at the same time, it's this hopeful thing. The idea is that it will gently encourage us with this reminder of mortality to focus on what matters and kind of making the most of our lives. And I think the basis of this idea is that studies show that there are these gentle reminders of things like mortality can encourage people to change their behavior for good, you know, and remind us of what's important. And again, it's a number that stares us in the face, but it is also a fact of life, and things like that are important to realize and recognize.
I am so tight on time, but if you intended, Bonnie, to kickstart a conversation, you surely have, because I am packed with calls and I cannot end the segment without taking a couple more. Let's go to Leah. She is in Larchmont. Leah, you are on WNYC with Bonnie Cho of The Atlantic.
Hi.
Toy. I'm so sorry, Bonnie. Bonnie Toy of The Atlantic. And we're going to give you a reference. Everyone who's listening, do not panic. We're going to link to the article. If you haven't found it already by Googling frantically, we're going to link to Bonnie's wonderful piece. And there are comments to the piece that are to be recommended as well, because the comments are rich and very thoughtful that the readers made. And I don't have time, obviously, to read them on the air. But, Leah, please go ahead with Bonnie.
I have four children. I'm very lucky. I have four children.
Yes, you are.
And four grandchildren.
Wow.
Two of the children and all four grandchildren live on the West Coast. After being disappointed for a couple of Thanksgivings, because that was sort of a very important holiday in our family, we realized, my husband and I, that this is a very big country, and everybody is caused to travel on Thanksgiving. And from that realization and from seeing how busy they were, we were able to continue our relationships with them by way of email and texting and telephone, which is the one I prefer because I can really have a conversation. And now when we need them, we call them. The two on the East Coast are close enough so that we see them every week or so. But the others are just as involved with us, thanks to the internet and thanks to the telephone. And my mother did guilt trips. Why don't you call me more often? Well, the telephone is a two-way street. That's what I told her. And I do come from a family that can afford to not have elderly relatives living with us. And we're, of course, the elderly relatives now and have just sustained a very difficult surgery. My 86-year-old husband came through it very well. My kids were great, all four.
Well, Leah, that is such a wonderful call to make, the last call, and I thank you very much for it, and I thank all of our callers who called in on this segment. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all of you. Bonnie, I wish we had more time. It's such a terrific piece, and it's such a terrific topic. I guess the last thing I would ask you, you write early on in the piece, how do you legislate love and loyalty and what it's worth? That's the question you posit at the top. Did you ever find the answer?
I would say it's an ongoing conversation. And I think that's, you know, clearly we haven't found the answer to it yet. There are pieces of the puzzle there. You know, we rely on our families. We rely on our larger social networks. We rely on social programs and Social Security and, you know, for all of these pensions and other needs that we have. And so I think that the answer is trying to find the right balance of all of those things for ourselves.
Well, thank you for a great answer and a terrific segment and a wonderful piece. My guest has been Bonnie Choi. She is at the Atlantic. This is in the cities section. You can read the current piece, China's Visit, Your Parents' Law. And all you have to do to read it is click on the link at our website, WMYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Bonnie, thank you so much. It has been a real pleasure. Up next, nature or nurture, what makes an extraordinary athlete? It will be a terrific conversation. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer.